السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
By the grace of God the Almighty, 22 days have completed, or rather the 22nd fast is being completed, and thus we are in the final Ashra, or the 10 days of Ramadan. According to one of the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, we have gone through the days of mercy and forgiveness, and are now passing through the last 10 days which grant salvation from the hellfire. It is a great and innumerable favour of God the Almighty that He has provided us this opportunity. However, a mu'min, a true believer who has belief in God the Almighty and seeks to adopt taqwa, righteousness and the fear of God, is filled with the fear of God the Almighty. Such a mu'min, the true believer, is not simply content that these days of Ashra, the sets of 10 days of Ramadan which God the Almighty has granted, will provide the means for his or her salvation. Undoubtedly, these are days of mercy, forgiveness and salvation. But have we truly benefited from these days? The commandments of God the Almighty and His Messenger are never without conditions. There are always conditions stipulated with the enjoinments. Therefore, in order to acquire the grace of His mercy, there are some conditions in these days. There are also some conditions in order to seek His forgiveness, His maghfirat, and there are also certain conditions that must be met in order to attain salvation from the hellfire. Therefore, in order to acquire these blessings, it is important to search for all those things which will enable us to become the recipients of Allah the Almighty's grace, and will allow us to attain His pleasure. Various Mufassireen, or commentators of the Holy Quran, describe the mercy of God the Almighty as two types. One type of rahmat, or mercy, is that which comes from God Almighty as a favour. Man does not make any special effort to acquire it. An example of this is when God the Almighty proclaims, Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay', that my mercy encompasses all things. Everyone, every individual partakes from this mercy. Without any effort of their own, they are receiving their share of this mercy, this rahmat of God the Almighty. However, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, peace be upon him, regarding this states, it is evident from this verse of the Holy Quran that the mercy of God the Almighty is all-encompassing, wide-ranging, and extensive. However, God's wrath, the attribute of adl, of being just, only comes into effect after a certain condition. In other words, this attribute only manifests after a contravention of the divine laws. Therefore, it is imperative for a divine law to first exist, and then sin to be born as a consequence of breaching that divine law. Thereafter shall this attribute manifest and fulfill its requisites. Thus, God the Almighty is benevolent towards mankind and shows mercy. However, when a person contravenes the divine laws and draws his wrath and punishment upon himself, even then, God Almighty forgives any small and minor faults. But when one exceeds extreme limits and transgresses, then God Almighty's attribute of adl, just, or other attributes come into effect. Generally, however, God Almighty's mercy encompasses everything. But at times, due to the requisites of justice, adl, and divine laws, punishment has to be meted. Yet even then, God Almighty shows rahmat, mercy on them, and forgives them. However, it should be kept in mind that such a condition is not for the mu'mins, the true believers, for the standard of a true mu'min is completely different. The prerequisites for faith are that one should strive to keep correct the state of belief and adhere to the commandments of God the Almighty as far and as much as possible, if one has true faith. If despite all the efforts he commits a sin owing to human weakness, then God Almighty's mercy covers that sin. As I mentioned in a previous khutbah or sermon, that it should not be the case that one should become bold in committing sin and say that God Almighty's mercy is very expansive and therefore becomes unmindful. Such instances stokes the wrath of God the Almighty. Elucidating on how the mercy of God Almighty covers his wrath, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, peace be upon him, states that there is no promise in Wa'id, the warning for a punishment. All that is God Almighty, owing to his holiness, requires that a sinful person should be punished, and at times due to that requirement informs those with whom he speaks to. In other words, he reveals to his messengers and prophets that such a person is becoming valiant and bold in committing sins, and that I shall now punish him, says God. However, when the sinful person engages in tawbah, repentance, and istighfar, seeking forgiveness, with complete humility and fervency, and he fulfills the requisites of God's rahmat or mercy, then God's rahmat or mercy supersedes over the requisites of his ghazab, his wrath, In certain instances, one is even informed and the punishment is decreed. However, if that person regarding whom the punishment has been ordained does tawbah, he seeks repentance, and does istighfar, seeks forgiveness, then he can be saved from the punishment. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, thus states that the prerequisites of God's mercy supersedes the prerequisites of his wrath. It wraps and hides the wrath, and God Almighty forgives such a person. This precisely is the meaning of this part of the verse of the Holy Quran, Azabi usibu bihi man asha wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay'in, that I will inflict my punishment on whom I will, but my mercy encompasses all things. God Almighty states that my mercy outweighs my wrath. God Almighty also forgives the sinners and transgressors due to their repentance and forgiveness, their tawbah and their istighfar. He even forgives those who have greatly exceeded, and punishment has been decreed for them. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that even for those sinful people upon whom punishment has been made compulsory, God Almighty forgives them if they repent fervently. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, that God Almighty even informs his messengers of their punishment, yet a sinful person's cry, humility, anguish, and istighfar, seeking forgiveness, draws and attracts the rahmat, the mercy of God the Almighty. The status of a mu'min, a true believer, is such that he should not have to first revolt from the divine laws and then seek repentance and search for God's mercy. The example of a mu'min, a true believer, is different. It is the second type of rahmat or mercy, which is conditional with deeds and actions. It is promised to those who do good deeds and adhere to taqwa, just as Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ كَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Surely the mercy of Allah is nigh unto those who do good. The meaning of muhsin is one who is kind to others, adheres to taqwa, righteousness, possesses knowledge, and carries out all his works according to the conditions that have been set by God the Almighty. Thus God the Almighty states that his mercy is closer to those who, out of the fear from the punishment of their sins, do not intentionally commit any sin. They always call upon God Almighty and remember him out of the fear of their sins. They do not deliberately commit any sin. In fact, if unintentionally they do commit a sin, then they call upon God whilst adhering to taqwa, the fear of God and righteousness. Eventually, the mercy of God descends upon them. Their prayers are accepted. It is God Almighty's special mercy that he accepts the prayers, because no one can compel him to certainly accept our prayers. God the Almighty states that his rahm, his mercy, is with the muhsineen, those people who live their lives whilst adhering to taqwa, righteousness and the fear of God. It is with those who deal good with others and fulfill the rights of people. Thus, if you want your prayers to be answered, then you must become a muhsin. And you must become a muhsin whilst keeping these various meanings in mind. This is no small or ordinary matter. A person cannot become a muhsin by simply carrying out normal deeds. Rather, to attain this station and status, one has to make his actions of a very high and lofty standard. If one ponders over the definition that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has given regarding a muhsin, then it would make one extremely worried with fear and question that, is our worship of this standard? Do we have that condition in all our activities which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described? What is that condition? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a muhsin is one who does every good deed whilst thinking that he can actually see God Almighty before him. This should be in his mind, or if not, then at the very least, that God Almighty is watching over him. If this is a condition of our worship, and also when carrying out other works and deeds, then it is impossible for any wrong to be committed on our part. We would never be able to deviate from taqwa and never do harm to anyone. We would never usurp anyone's right. In fact, we would not even let the thought cross our mind of harming or usurping anyone else's right. Thus, the commandments of Islam are such that from whichever aspect one begins to follow them, or whichever commandment of God Almighty one holds onto, or the wisdom of saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one ponders, however they study them, however one looks over them, ultimately it would lead one to Hakukullah, fulfilling the rights of God, and Hakukul Ibad, fulfilling the rights of mankind. Although many of us desire for our prayers to be accepted and that we become recipient of God Almighty's mercy, but we do not make an effort to attain this standard, or a vast majority of us do not do so and does not make a regular effort as a mu'min, a true believer, really ought to. We become jubilant over the fact that we are passing through the Ashra, the 10 days of God Almighty's Rahmat or mercy. But we never think about what efforts we have made in order to acquire this mercy or what we need to do to attain it. Are we among those who have committed wrong and as a result of momentary repentance have acquired God Almighty's mercy and saved themselves from the punishment that was destined because of certain misdeeds or a certain misdeed? Or are we among the muhsineen who strive to adjust their lives accordingly, who always pledge to remain firm on taqwa, righteousness and the fear of Allah the Almighty, who always pledge to do good to others, who strive to make Ramadan a true source of bringing enduring pious changes in themselves, and do so as well? Thus, we need to make an effort to absorb this mercy, and the effort we should make be one that shall always remain with us, and not be one that temporarily saves us from a punishment, and thereafter we return back to our original state. In this one word, Rahmat, or mercy, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has provided us with a treasure of how one should live. He has told us to seek this Rahmat, or mercy, in the first 10 days of Ramadan, and having sought it, promise to make it an enduring part of our life. Tarbiyat, or moral training for 10 days, will lead a believer to new ways of success. However, since Satan is with us at all times, and is busy in his efforts and mission to incite and tempt us and lead believers away from performing righteous deeds. Thus, help from Allah the Almighty is required for this reason, even after attaining mercy, to be able to be steadfast on it. What method should we adopt to attain this help? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that then for the next 10 days of Ramadan, seek help and strength from Allah the Almighty, so that you can become consistent and steadfast in your actions. And that strength is istighfar, seeking forgiveness. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the second ashra, or 10 days of Ramadan, is a period of maghfirat, or forgiveness. As it has been mentioned before, that the one who beseeches and supplicates Allah the Almighty is enveloped by him in the fold of his forgiveness, and he bestows his mercy and grace upon him. However, a mu'min, a believer, is one who makes this veil and mercy a part of his life permanently. This should be evident in the worship and other actions of the mu'min, of the believers, whilst they remain consistent in seeking forgiveness and introspecting their actions. When this occurs, the forgiveness of Allah the Almighty will take us in its fold, and the doors to His mercy will continue to open for us. When this occurs, Allah the Almighty will grant us the ability to remain steadfast on amal-e saliha, performing righteous deeds. For a mu'min, for a believer, what is the reality of forgiveness? What method should be adopted to receive it? And how can one do istighfar, seek forgiveness for his sins? Regarding this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states in one place, the true and real meaning of istighfar is that one implores God that his human weaknesses do not become apparent, and that may God support one's natural disposition and keeps one in the vicinity of his help and succor. This word maghfirat has been taken from the word ghafar, which means to cover. So its meaning is that God covers the natural weakness of a person who seeks forgiveness. And Allah covers the natural weaknesses of a person who does istighfar, seeks forgiveness consistently. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that the real and true meaning of this is that through divine power, God safeguards the one who seeks forgiveness or does istighfar from his natural weaknesses. God bestows strength to the seeker from his might. God bestows knowledge to the seeker from his knowledge, bestows light to the seeker from his light. This is because God has not separated himself from man after creating him. Rather, God is the one who is responsible for man's existence, as he is man's creator. Meaning, whatever God has created, he safeguarded through his support. God safeguards his creation, and he also is the one who is responsible for its existence. Therefore, when one of God's attribute is Quyyum, the everlasting, it means that he is the one who is responsible for the existence of his creation through his support. For this reason, it is obligatory for man, as he is created through God's attribute of creator, he should thus safeguard the image of his existence through the Qayyumiyat, the everlasting attribute of God. Hence, there was a natural need for men to receive instruction regarding seeking forgiveness, or istighfar. Allah the Almighty commanded to seek forgiveness in order to safeguard them from deteriorating, to take part in God's attribute of Qayyumiyat, everlasting, and to establish their spiritual conditions permanently. Therefore, it was a natural need for man that he was commanded to istighfar. During Ramadan, our attention is directed towards istighfar in its true spirit. Seek forgiveness and beseech Allah the Almighty's pardon if one desires a permanent share of His mercy. God the Almighty is particularly benevolent towards His servants during these days. Both types of the benefits of His mercy are everlasting. There is one type of benefit which believers and non-believers take advantage of generally. There is another type of more particular benefit which is specifically for the Muhsineen. Hence, may we become those who take part from that. Hence, when a believer strives to gain strength in order to perform righteous deeds, he also receives light from the light of Allah through istighfar, seeking forgiveness. And he gains strength from the power of Allah, so that he never wanders blindly whilst being deprived of the light of Allah, or he never falls in the hands of Satan when not benefiting from the might of Allah. Satanic attacks are very severe, and Satan grabs one in his fold if the power of Allah the Almighty is not being availed of. For this reason, it is absolutely necessary to seek forgiveness, that is, do istighfar, so that one gains strength from Allah the Almighty and is always protected and safeguarded from Satan. Thus, he says that man is weak by nature, and istighfar, seeking forgiveness, is necessary in order to safeguard from this weakness and to gain strength from Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that man needs the support of Allah the Almighty in order to remain steadfast on righteous deeds and to receive the blessings and mercy of Allah the Almighty. Without this, we cannot do anything. By giving himself the attribute of Qayyum, everlasting, Allah the Almighty has guided our attention that this attribute is in place in order to keep righteous deeds persistent, and his support is needed in order to partake from his mercy and pardon and forgiveness. The attribute of Qayyumiyat, everlasting, of Allah the Almighty is informing us that if you want to carry on with something or establish it permanently, you will most certainly need my support and so come towards me. Allah the Almighty says that never let go of this divine support. This support is everlasting. Allah the Almighty is everlasting, and he establishes everything, and he is the strongest support. Therefore, we should understand this point. The meaning of the middle 10 days, or the middle ashra of Ramadan, being a period of forgiveness, does not mean that one should seek forgiveness as much as desired, and by doing so one has obtained their purpose. Rather, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided our attention that Allah the Almighty draws closer to his servants during Ramadan. Your attention was drawn towards fasting and prayer. So now, in order to always carry on with your righteous deeds, to partake from the rahmat, the mercy of Allah the Almighty permanently, to safeguard from your innate weaknesses, enter the protection of Allah the Almighty while seeking his forgiveness or performing istighfar, and try to make this condition permanent. May Allah the Almighty enable most of us to pass through the second period of Ramadan, or have passed through it already, while seeking his forgiveness with this mindset. The second period has actually passed. Now we are entering the third period with this mindset that the light and strength obtained from Allah the Almighty leads us to the gardens of his pleasure, God willing, inshallah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the last ashra, or 10 days of Ramadan, safeguards one from hell. When a person is covered in the mercy of the cloak of Allah the Almighty, when he gains the strength of his light through his forgiveness and stays steadfast on it, then it is clear that he has obtained the nearness of God. Allah the Almighty does not let anyone go without rewarding them. He is very kind and compassionate and benevolent. When a person is performing or trying to perform righteous deeds for the sake of God the Almighty, then he does not only say that I will not put you in hell and you are safe from hell. In fact, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this last period of Ramadan, as the period which safeguards one from hell, He actually told us that Allah the Almighty gives glad tidings of heaven to those who perform such actions, and He is pleased with them. The gates of hell are closed for the month of Ramadan. Thus, if one seeks forgiveness continuously, if one performs righteous deeds persistently, and seeks Allah the Almighty's assistance to remain established on righteous deeds, then the gates of hell will not only be closed during Ramadan, rather the worship of these 30 days, the fulfillment of covenant and rites, turning towards Allah the Almighty, and the permanent habit of istighfar, that is, of seeking forgiveness, will close the gates of hell forever for one in his or her life. I will now present an excerpt of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, about the reality of heaven and hell. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "What is the purpose of religion? It is that man is able to free himself from the desires of the self by sincerely believing in the existence of God the Almighty and His perfect attributes, and personal love is attained of God the Almighty." That in truth is paradise, which will emerge in various forms in the hereafter. Being ignorant of the true God, keeping Him afar and not truly loving Him, is actually hell, which will emerge in various ways and types in the hereafter. Hence there is a need for us to understand that the process of deliverance from hell starts in this very life, and the process of obtaining heaven also starts in this world, and a wide range of effects which are due are received in the next life or the hereafter. Therefore, true relationship with Allah the Almighty, turning towards Allah the Almighty, repentance and seeking forgiveness shows paradise to man in this life. And a wide range of favors and rewards, as I have stated, will be received in the next life. Not seeking a true relationship with God the Almighty continuously, His love, mercy and forgiveness, and disobeying His commandments intentionally and purposefully will lead to God the Almighty's displeasure. Then, in reference to the Holy Qur'an, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has elaborated upon this in the following manner. He states, "The reality of paradise and hell mentioned in the Holy Qur'an has not been mentioned in any other book or scripture. It is mentioned very clearly by Allah the Almighty in the Holy Qur'an that this process begins in this world. As the Holy Qur'an on Allah the Almighty states, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. But for him who fears to stand before his Lord, there are two gardens. Meaning there are two paradises for the person who feared to stand before God the Almighty. One paradise is obtained in this world because the fear of God the Almighty prevented him to perform evil deeds. Paradise is obtained when a person stops himself from performing evil deeds, and running towards evil deeds produces agitation and discomfort in the heart, which in itself is a dangerous hell. Fear of Allah the Almighty prevents one from performing evil deeds. When man stops performing evil deeds, then he is saved from hell in this world as well. The one who performs evil deeds never finds tranquility, and he experiences agitation and restlessness, and this state of a person after performing evil deeds is itself hell. He said that the person who fears Allah, he safeguards himself from chastisement and pain his entire life. The one who fears Allah is immediately saved from this chastisement, which is produced due to the lustful desires, and from being enslaved to one's desires of the self. That one suppresses his carnal passions and also his various selfish and egotistical desires. If there is fear of Allah the Almighty, one is safe from this. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says further, and he progresses in his loyalty and submission to God. When man abstains from these things, he moves closer towards God the Almighty. He attains a satisfaction and also tranquility, and a heavenly life begins in this world for him. And thus, how should one make efforts to attain the paradise of both this life and the hereafter and be saved from the hell fire? The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explains, according to the Holy Quran, entering paradise and salvation from hell does not only refer to the hell and heaven of the hereafter. In fact, heaven and hell also exist in this life. Man can only save himself from hell in this life when he fears Allah. As was mentioned earlier, a true muhsin is one who always keeps in mind that God is watching over him. When he constantly realizes this, the fear of Allah is developed in him, and he then desists from evil and vice. And one who avoids evil attains inner peace and contentment. Now take a thief as an example, or anyone who commits a wrong act. He remains in constant fear of being caught and of being disgraced and humiliated in any way. So the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that here, this fear embroils him in a hell in this world. Thus, one who fears God the Almighty earns paradise in both this world and the next. However, one who is immersed in vices and unbridled carnal passions and lustful desires receives hell in this life and in the hereafter. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explains that to submit to God and show loyalty to him is, in effect, heaven. And to become distant from God entails hell. Therefore, ultimately, the question of how to attain salvation from hell rests on following the divine commands and keeping in view the fear of God and taqwa, righteousness, at all times. In this brief hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outlines 3 points of guidance, where this draws our attention to God's rahmat, His mercy. There it also reminds us to engage in istighfar, seeking forgiveness for God's one sins, to continue to be steadfast on it. He says that when man adopts this, his every word and deed will be for the sake of pleasing Allah the Almighty. Man then develops loathing to sin and becomes attracted to goodness. The blessings of Ramadan become a permanent part of his life, and he is removed far away from hell. He receives the pleasure of God in this world and the next, and attains the reward of paradise. Hence, we need to keep this in view at all times, and we must hone our mindset in this manner. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us towards another point, or in fact has given a glad tiding for attaining the pleasure of God the Almighty in the last ashra, 10 days of Ramadan, in order to safeguard one's faith perpetually, and to remain steadfast on taqwa, the fear of Allah and righteousness. And that is, Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, falls in the last 10 days. A hadith or a tradition is narrated by Hadrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "One who kept their fast during Ramadan in a state of belief and was constantly scrutinizing their own condition will be forgiven of their past sins. And one who observes the night of Laylatul Qadr in a state of belief and self-assessment will have all their past sins forgiven." Laylatul Qadr is very important, but the fasts of Ramadan have equal importance. Certainly, Laylatul Qadr is a night when all past sins are forgiven, however, past actions are taken into account, and the 30 days of Ramadan are counted towards this. Allah the Almighty says that there are conditions attached to observing the fast, Laylatul Qadr, and to have one's sins forgiven. And that is to constantly assess one's own condition and faith. If shortcomings from the beginning days of Ramadan persist, then a concerted effort should be made to root these out in the last days. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not said that one who finds Laylatul Qadr alone will have his sins forgiven. Rather, he said one who observes his fast and Laylatul Qadr in a state of belief and whilst constantly scrutinizing his own state can hope to have his past sins forgiven, and Allah the Almighty does so. God has assigned numerous prerequisites and required qualities for a mu'min, for a believer. And this is mentioned in numerous places. And wherever it has been mentioned, belief has been connected with amal saliha, righteous deeds. Hence we need to focus on what belief and faith are. Belief in God the Almighty and also performing pious actions. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has indicated numerous characteristics of a mu'min, of a believer. For example, one of the signs of a true believer mentioned in the Holy Quran is, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. True believers are only those whose heart tremble when the name of Allah is mentioned. Thus, a sign of a mu'min is that he should always have the realization that it is necessary for him to act upon the commands of God. Whenever he is reminded of an instruction from God, fear should develop in him immediately and he should strive to implement it. Thus, when numerous references are drawn to God the Almighty himself with relation to divine commands of amal saliha, performing righteous deeds, and fulfilling the rights of others, then it is essential we keep all of these in view at all times. Reference is given to God himself in these verses in terms of acting upon these commands. Hence, if man fails to act upon them, can he be counted amongst the mu'min described in this verse, despite not giving heed towards it? After all, he, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that every person should observe the fasts or Laylatul Qadr in a state of true belief and whilst constantly assessing his own condition, and then his sins will be forgiven. And so, as I also mentioned earlier, the blessings of Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr are conditional. Man must follow the commands of God the Almighty and his messenger. One who has weak faith and usurps the right of others may say that he experienced Laylatul Qadr. It is possible he develops a special state of prayer and supplication which leads to a revolutionary change in his inner condition. As such, God the Almighty's special grace and mercy would illuminate such a person. This would then demand of the person that he remains steadfast on this transformation and follows the commands of God. However, one who does not develop this state may just be deceiving himself in thinking he experienced Laylatul Qadr. Because remember, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to experience Laylatul Qadr, one should be in a state of true belief and be constantly assessing his own condition. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained to us that Laylatul Qadr is not just one special night. Rather, there are three forms of Laylatul Qadr. One Laylatul Qadr is a night that appears in Ramadan. The other Laylatul Qadr is the era of a prophet. And finally, there is the Laylatul Qadr an individual experiences on a personal level, where he undergoes an inner revolution to become pure and righteous. He rids himself of all filth and impurities of the world and becomes steadfast in his faith. By constantly assessing his own state, he roots out all inner vice. Thus, this is that Laylatul Qadr. If we attain this, if we devote ourselves entirely to God and God alone, if we follow his commands and elevate our standards of worship, then we will fulfill the ultimate objective that Allah the Almighty has commanded us about. Achieving this standard will enable our prayers and supplications to be accepted at all times, every day and every night. We who believe in the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam must bring about an inner revolution in our state. We must enhance our faith to the level where our every word and deed is purely for the sake of God. We must constantly scrutinize our conditions and then lead our lives accordingly so that the blessings of Ramadan continue to benefit us for the rest of our lives. May Allah the Almighty enable many of us to attain that Laylatul Qadr, which is a special occasion of acceptance of prayers in these last days of Ramadan, as described by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May it be a means of channeling us towards piety and taqwa and enhancing in them. May all our past sins be forgiven, and may Allah the Almighty infuse in us, through His special grace, the strength and ability to abstain from sins in the future also.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر